All right, Brown's out in training camp today. The coordinators speak today. If they say anything worthwhile, we're going to come back and we'll play it for you a little bit later in the show. Also, the players and, of course, Kevin Stefanski coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Browns had their first of six dates where you can go as a fan and go watch them at training camp. And as Jeff and I were saying, this isn't your father's training camp. And it's just different. And what's really, I gotta tell you, what's super impressive, Jeff, is that they redid the field house and they put the weight room. We weren't even kind of allowed down there, so I didn't really go down there yesterday. But the weight room is a part of the field house now. They flipped the end zone in the field house so that it's going back towards the street. And they put in this deck, this VIP deck, where people can watch practice from, like, you're above the field house.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's...
Is it on the roof of the field house?
Yeah, or it's even with the roof. It's almost like this big patio.
Cool.
They put up there. It's really, like, I got to tell you, it's impressive. The other thing I think you'll notice is that all of the houses are gone that were on one side of the street. So you walk in towards the main entrance, and you look over to the little side street there, and you can see where eventually that street's going to have to.
They're on the brown side, right?
On the brown side.
On the practice? The houses were all bought up on the side of the street
where
the
practice field is. Like, yeah. Somebody was telling me a story yesterday that they knew somebody that lived in one of those houses, and they had, like, the best seat in the house for practice. All of those houses are gone.
Was that guy's name Tomlin?
No.
Oh, okay. Thus a concern.
So you'll notice that. In fact, it's kind of weird. You know, the bridge you take over, you can see the bridge from the field. Like, I never really thought about it. And you see how close the bridge is to the practice facility. Plus, they took out, all the way down to, there was a car dealership or an auto repair part of a car dealership that was all the way down the street, too. Mm-hmm. Gone. Like, everything's gone there. Everything's gone. And it's wide open. So, like, I think the first thing is, if you go to the complex, you'll be like, wow, all those houses are gone. There were a lot. It was a hot day yesterday. They only have stands on one side of the field now. On the, what would be away from that street side would be the other side. What's that, south side of the complex? I could be wrong. It's got to be if the airport's there, that's got to be like the south side. So, that's there. The turf look fantastic. I got to tell you, the grounds crew in Berea is outstanding, man. Those guys do a fantastic job. And then I'm just trying to think of anything else that would kind of catch your eye when you first walked in. There weren't that many people there as we've seen in the past. I can't tell you how many times that I've walked into training camp day one, and there's just people hooting and hollering and Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. There was none of that yesterday. I actually think that, and I don't think it's just Kevin. I think NFL coaches aren't big fans of training camp anymore. They just don't want fans.
Fans at training camp. Oh, they love training camp.
Yeah. They're just not.
They don't
want
it to be a show.
Yeah, I just don't think they're into it anymore.
And honestly, that's too bad, because it's the best opportunity for a lot of fans to get an up-close look at the team. You know, maybe they can't afford tickets. Maybe they don't want to go on a game day.
Right.
It was a great way to go watch the team and get familiar with the team.
Yeah, so the other thing is, you got to go online. You got to get your tickets first, even though they're free. I heard tickets were going for like $40 or $50 yesterday online for a free ticket, that people were coming back and trying. If you wanted to go to camp yesterday, you had to go get them. I was told that story. I don't know if it's true or not. But the other thing that was cool outside of the players and everything else that was going on. So while I think it was Za'Darius Smith was speaking yesterday, maybe it was Za'Darius, maybe it was Jerry Jeudy, the Browns wheeled out a couple of carts, and they were like kind of flatbed carts. They wheeled out two of them. And as guests of the morning session, where they were just doing walkthrough stuff, the Bedford Bearcat High School team was there yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were just kind of watching. And so at the end, they brought all those guys together, and they were like, hey, we're really proud of you guys, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for coming out. And by the way, and then boom, they take a tarp off of what was on the back of the flatbeds, brand new helmets for all of them, Bedford helmets.
Cool.
Oh, it was really, really cool to watch that. It was just neat. It was just one of those moments you're like, all right, way to give back. The Browns do a great job giving back. I can't tell you how many times I've been to a high school football field. You're like, oh, this field was donated by the Cleveland Browns. The Browns did this for this high school.
Yeah,
they do high school stuff. They do high school stuff on there. They do a game of the week. They do a lot of things to try to give back to the community as far as high school athletics is concerned. And youth sport. And the flag football thing, the Browns are way behind that. For the girls' flag football stuff, just unbelievable how much that they've kind of pushed themselves into that world. They had the championships out at Canton a couple weeks ago. I actually was watching them on the finals, and it took me a minute to realize they were in Canton. They had like the U18, I think it was U18 and U16 finals that I was watching last week. There were a lot of interesting stories that were going on. Za'Darius Smith, though, was there, and Za'Darius set some super lofty goals for what this season could be, and I was kind of taken aback. Here's this would be cut two from Za'Darius Smith.
We got unfinished work to do here. Jim Schwartz, second year D coordinator, man. So I get a chance for myself, basically get comfortable in this defense. Just the team period as a whole, man. We can really go to the Super Bowl if we really work hard and put our minds to it this year, because we was that close last year. So I feel like we got some unfinished business, man.
I'm telling you, you sat there and you listened to him, and I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he was being arrogant. I didn't think he was being braggadocious. I didn't think he was like saying something he didn't truly believe in.
It was almost matter of fact.
Yeah, it was like, hey, look how far we made it last year. Look how good this defense can be. You know, not like he was thinking about the playoff game.
We have a shot.
Yeah, and he's right. They mm-hmm. do have a shot.
I agree.
But I think we live in this like, uh-oh, we don't have the starting pitching. Uh-oh, maybe we don't have the quarterback. Uh-oh, where are they going to find a three-guard world that we live, or a forward? And we sit here and because we're prepared for the worst. I think we always are as Clevelanders. So that's not the way he sounded yesterday. And the other thing that he said yesterday, there were a couple things that he talked about. They were talking about playing inside or outside, and he's like, I love playing the inside. You know, so when you think about him and Miles on the outside,
yeah,
that's kind of where we are. But and as I've said 1,000 times, when they had double O in and then they brought Za'Darius in, you're like, wow, that's an abundance of defensive ends, because double O could have started. Double O could start every game for the Browns at end. He's that good. But when you build the depth, that you end up with Za'Darius and Miles starting, because he's no one's knocking Miles out of his spot. So I thought it was really interesting that he likes to play the inside, and just that whole Jim Schwartz flexibility of being able to have guys play multiple positions, especially on that defensive front,
yeah,
which should be, you know, the entire team. I just think those guys set the standard for what other teams can do against us. So, I mean, I know you can look at offense, you can look at defense, you can look at that, but as far as just security, confidence, and what this team is about, to me, it's that defensive front.
I love the depth. I love the skill of the guys on the defensive line, Andy, and it's a Jim Schwartz defense. We know it's predicated on good defensive line play, and so that's essential. And I like the versatility there as well. I think it's a big thing for this defense. We all know the D has to improve this year. You know, they were really good in yards allowed, Andy. You know, they led the league in that. But, you know, to me, the one of the biggest keys to defense isn't how many yards you allow. It's, is the other team in a position where they need to go down offensively and do something, and can you stop them now? You know, it's almost situational defense. You know, hey, we need a big stop now. Let's get it. Can you get it? All right, good. Then you have a pretty good defense.
Za'Darius talked about a couple other things. One of the things I found this fascinating yesterday, because I don't think a lot of the beat reporters knew this either, that Za'Darius didn't play football until his senior year of high school.
Hmm.
But why? Because he was playing basketball. And he was playing AAU basketball. And he said, you know, I traveled the whole world playing AAU basketball. And I was just like, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. So his senior year of high school, he's like, you know what? I'll play football. And now look where he is. I mean, you talk about talented athletes. Za'Darius Smith, you know, jumps off the page when it comes to that. But I was kind of shocked, because I don't think a lot of us knew that he didn't play football until he was a senior in college. He talked about a number of other things, you know, about Miles Garrett and Miles Garrett's attitude and how it's infectious. And you know, Zadarius' attitude is infectious too. I mean, both those guys, man, they're bringing it, and they're bringing it like in a positive way, and no one's bringing us down today, and we're going to do this, and we're going to get better, and we're going to try to, you know, we want to be the best. And then he talked about the backups and talked about second-round pick Mike Hall and gave him lofty goal, or not lofty goals, but they have high expectations for him and compared him to one of the best that we've seen in a long time.
He's different, man. He reminds me of Aaron Donald a little bit. Hopefully he don't see this and try to get to be here. But, nah, man, younger guy, man, wants to learn, man, and just ask a lot of questions. You can see it if you did see when we was there doing 101s, man, he was winning each and every rep. So to have a young guy like that, man, that just want to continue to get better and better each and every day is big for our D-line, man, and happy to have him.
It's impressive to say that about a rookie.
Well, I mean, you're not going to say that unless you see something, because that's a lot to put on a young guy.
Yeah.
That's a really bold statement. Aaron Donald is as good of an interior defensive lineman as the league has seen in, what, in 30, 40 years?
Yes.
You know, he's one of the best. So the fact that he even said that about Michael Hall, thinking that he sees some attributes there, makes me excited about seeing Hall on the field for the Browns. I'm anxious to see him out there. I'm anxious to see how he fits in. And again, I think we're going to continue to see the Browns invest in that position, especially as long as Jim Schwartz is the defensive coordinator here.
I think it all revolves around those guys. You know, we talked about Alex Wright as well. But, you know, for Mike Hall to have that kind of pressure, and then, you know, Zadarius went on to even say, you know what, he's from here. Like, I can't imagine what it's like, you know, to be able to say, hey, here's the team I rooted for my whole life, and now all of a sudden I'm on that team, right? And so, you know, that and Denzel, you know, the two of those guys, they can share that, and not only share that, you know, through, you know, playing high school ball around here, but also playing at Ohio State too, which I think also adds even more pressure, right? But I also think it's a blessing. Like, if you play for the Buckeyes and end up coming up here, you're embraced, right? You're embraced. Like, Ohio State guys, in some ways, they can make more mistakes, I think, than other guys, because no one wants to give up on a Buckeye, I think, that quick. And you know, remember, we used to talk about this all the time with Braylon, because Braylon would always, I'm from Michigan, and people always give me a hard time.
I thought that was silly.
I just don't know any real Browns fan that would give a Michigan guy a hard time. They might say, oh, you know, Mason Blue or something like that. But I can't imagine, you know, any true Browns fan giving somebody grief because they played at Michigan and now they play for the Browns. I don't care where you played college ball. I don't. You'll probably get some extra love because you went to Ohio State, or I don't know, let's say you played somewhere else near or close to here. You played at Mount Union or something. But, I mean, that used to always bother me.